Today's daf in Masechet Shkalim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof, and we're holding right at the bottom of daf Yud Tet Amud Beit. We were talking about the question of finding meat in the street and whether you'd be allowed to be makel on it. We had the case of the Teisha Chanuya of selling kosher, or whether it's Teisha Chanuya selling treif, and so on. So we have some other issues that we need to take into consideration. These are big machlokas in terms of how we paskin and so on, which has to do with basar that is nisal min ha'ayin, and where we paskin the iser basar shen nisal min ha'ayin. Anyway, Rav went to Bavel, so nochas l'taman, and chamtun mikilin. So he saw that they were very makel about these issues of basar that they found, v'chamar aleim, because of that he was machmer on them. In a number of interesting cases, there was a guy, Chad Bar Nash Azel, it was a guy who went to wash off Boy Mishizga Rizkafute Begonahara. So he wanted to wash off some of his meat in the river, and Inchite, it actually fell out, and he left some of it there, or he forgot some of it there, and didn't realize that he hadn't taken it all out. And then he realized, oh my gosh, so he goes back, Chazer Boy Mispina. He comes back to find that piece, and Rav was just waiting for that. Amalei Rav Osulach. You have no way to take that piece, because you don't know for sure that that's the piece. Dinamar, because I will say, he shot off the har. It's very possible that the original piece that dropped in that you forgot actually was washed away. And maybe I take Chori Nevela Tachtoi. It's possible that another piece of Nevela was brought, you know, from upstream. And now you're thinking that that's the piece that you lost. You have no reason to assume that. Chad Bar Nash HaMalach B'Shuka Toin Kupad. Another guy was walking down the street. He was carrying some meat. And Ata Daita V'Chatavta Minei. So then this Daya, usually translated as kind of vulture, but it's certainly carrion eater. So it comes and it grabs it out of his hands. Utalakte. And it throws it down somewhere else. So Chazar boy Mesbina. So the guy starts looking for it. He wants to find out where the piece was. Amar Le Rav, you can't take that piece. Because then Amar Besar the Nevela have it to Ina Talakte. How do you know that it wasn't carrying another piece of Nevela? And that what it threw down wasn't that piece of Nevela. So unless you have a clear, it could very well be Nasfahu Ukhrana. Maybe he took your piece and actually substituted it for the Nevela that he had before. It was also a maisa with the Ginoi River. And Ginoi shot off Zikin. So the Ginoi washed away some Zikins, again, the skins, the wine skins that are filled with wine. And afterwards, they found them. So Otto was a Kamein Reb Yitzchak Reb Elazar to ask whether it would be mutter to drink that wine, or do we also have to be cheshish, the same thing that Rav was cheshish on the basa. The Omar, so he said, Yechkamun Shapaya Kitrahon. Let the people that package the wines in the beginning, the one who pour the wines into these things, let them look at the knots that they made. They used to make special knots as a siman, which would be the chatima, basically, as a siman on the bottles. And so if you can see them as being yours so far, then it's like a chota. Otherwise, you're going to have to be worried that these may be some goyish wine, it would be aser for yayin nesach. They found a kankan of wine in the shul, in Buli. And Otto, the Kamei Reb Yirmia, they wanted to know whether it would be mutter to actually be able to open up that barrel and drink it. The people that seal the barrels with sikra, which is this red dye, if they can identify that as their own special marks, fine, then it would be kosher. And in another case, they had a gedi tzlish takach bisrati degufta. They found a gedi that was actually roasted already, and they found this in the main street of the town of Gufta, and there were two issues that they needed to decide, whether it was mutter in terms of hashavas aveda, or do you have to keep it and try to be machra to see you belong to. And obviously, there was a question of whether it was kosher or not. Would you have a right to eat it if you could keep it? And they were matir it on both studies. They were matirat mishum shnei dvarim, meaning not for two reasons, but for both of the possible isurim. Mishum mitziah, they were matirat, and they were matirat in terms of rov mahalchei drachim in that place were Jewish. So they were matirat mishum mitziah, because it says beferish in the brayta that amatzu miyad ha'ari umiyad ha'jayas, in a case where something was actually already grabbed by a lion or by a troop of soldiers. So then already it's vaday that the owner was miyayish, mishunatayam, or from like a sudden sea surge, or mishunatanahar, from an overrush river. Or if he found something inside of a Yisratya Gedola, so Yisratya Gedola would be found something on an actual highway between different towns, Umi Platya Gedola, or even in a Platya, which is a town center, a large town center where there's hundreds of people or thousands of people. So also the person never assumes he's going to be getting it back. And therefore we assume that there was Yush Baalim and Hare Elo Shalom Yipnesha Baalim Yit Yashimeh. So in terms of the problem of the do I have to be machrezet? So they were machlet. No, you do not, because it's definitely Yush. And then, in terms of the question of whether it was kosher meat or not, mishum rov malchei drachim, they were matirat mishum shchitas nochri. You do not have to be cheshesh, because most of the people on the road were Jewish, and therefore we can assume that it was okay to eat as well, because we're allowed to be somech on the rov. In the end, Lamais, it turned out that they found out where it had come from. It was actually dropped by one of the people that was working in Rebbe's house. It was about as kosher as you could possibly get. And it turned out that the psak was actually correct, that it was certainly okay to eat. There was another maisa where they found an eagle de guvna, ishtakre peputika de Levi. So Levi had this motel, and they found like this, a cheese around. And hitiru there too. They allowed it to be eaten on both issues. Mishum mitziah or mishum rov malchei drachim. Mishum mitziah because of the same braita. Hamatz miyad agayas miyad ha'ari mishunat hayam mishunat ha'anahar. Or misrat yegedola miplat yegedola. And since this was a hotel, there were people that would come in from all over the world, and therefore it's the equivalent of leaving something on a main street. So harei lo shalom mipnei sha'ba'alim mityashim mihem. And they were also matir that it was kosher cheese and not cheese made by a goy, mishum rov mahalchei drachim, and therefore it was undoubtedly, they said, the rov is Jewish, and therefore it was kosher in terms of givinas nochri, and you don't have to worry about it. And in that case also, they ended up finding out who had dropped the cheese. It was actually from the house of Rabbi Elazar ben Yossi, and therefore it was about as kosher cheese as you could get. Omer Rabbi Mona, kome Rabbi Yossi. So Ramana said, look, I understand. I mean, it's all very nice to be saying that they were matir, but I myself saw many times where the Rabbanan would find something in a place which definitely would be the equivalent of these cases, where it was like a very public place with tons of people there all the time. And they went up and they put up signs and they were machris that they found it. So he says to Ramana, he says, so what are you trying to say? That if it were you, so at in havita mishtakach that lona savat, you're saying you wouldn't have taken it for yourself. Your father, Rabbi Yonah, doesn't agree with you. He used to say all the time, oh man, if I find a wallet with 100,000 bucks in it, please let it be at least from the piyusa vilago. Is it okay if it would be like at least in the middle of the road somewhere so that I can keep it? It's too much for me to expect me to go ahead and be machrez. Boy, do I need that cash. Okay, that's all very nice. Rabbi Yonah said that. You should know he once actually found it and he was machrez. So it's all big talk. You know, sure. I feel again, Ashkach, he did find it there. And anyway, he refused to take it. So he was no better than his son. Halacha Gimel. And it's time for our Amar Kol, a man who announces every Mishnah, even on a birthday. So we've been talking about cash that was found between the various pushkas, the shofaros that were there. We've been talking about money that was found at different places, Har HaBayit, in front of the Mokher Behemoth, and so on. How about if you actually find an animal, and you're near Yerushalayim, and there, I don't have anything right now, and you're near Yerushalayim, so you're within the Yerushalayim to Migdal Eder, and the that distance, whatever that is, so it's around Beit Lechem, as we saw in the Torah, uchemidata l'chol ruach. So then you have to assume that these animals have wandered away from the animals in Yerushalayim, and therefore, if they are zecharim, so then you assume that they are korban oilos, because they are roi, zokers roi for oila. If there are nekevot, then you assume that they are wandering shlomim that have wandered away from Yerushalayim, and therefore they're zivchei shlomim. Rabbi Yehuda says, wait a second. If you found it near Pesach time, so then if it's a kind of carbon that would be roi for a Pesach, so then even if it's a zocher, but it's the type of, it's a keves and so on, so then you'd have to assume that it's within shloshim yom of Pesach, when we start darshaning about carbon Pesach, people are already getting their psokim ready, then you would assume that it was a carbon Pesach, because people are very aware at that time of the year. Barishona, so it used to be that Hayuma Mashkaninet Motza'eha Atshu Mevi Nisachea. This was one of the earliest Good Samaritan laws, where in order not to penalize people who are being good about things, so we end up making laws protecting them. It used to be that if somebody would find a korban like that, and then he would present it to be brought, so he has to assume that he's going to bring the korban, right? Like we said, it's either a good oil or a shlomi, depending on the sex. So they used to insist that he's got to pay for the nesachin, because he's going to be buying it. He's going to be bringing it. And then what happened was that the people that found these korbanos would manage to not see them. Uh-oh, did you see anything? No, I didn't see nothing. And because of that, so chazuliyot menichimotanu borchim. So if you saw an animal wandering around in that area, you ran the other direction. You certainly don't need them to be sending you a bill for nesachim. So after that, hitkinu beidin shiyu nisachea ba'in mishal tzibur. So that was one of the early takanos of Besdin, that the tzibur should pay for the nesachim. And this leads us to the seven takanos that were made in this area of issues. And Rabbi Shimon points out that there were indeed shiva dvarim hitkinu beidin. This was one of those seven things. The other six things that we're talking about are also nogea, this type of situation. One of them was, very similar to this, that if a guy sends a korban oila from a place where he's not accessible, so he was shalach olato mibinat hayah. So if he included in his korban oila the nesachim, meaning he sent money, obviously, doesn't mean he sent literally nesachim, because we wouldn't accept nesachim from a goy, this is makabel tumah, but he sent the money for nesachim along with the korban, fine, so then we use his money. But if he does not send along nesachim, so then the bezdin was masna, that we will pay for the nesachim out of the shiore halishka. Another thing, this is two. So now number three, we have the same situation on nesachim again, in the case of a ger who dies, and he leaves over korbanos. So if he has nesachim in his things, remember that if a ger dies without yorshim, so then the halacha is that the first person in gets to take it. Over here, if you left korbanos, so then his things are obviously available to bring his own korbanos. But if he doesn't leave over nesachim, so the tzibur will bring the nesachim. The fourth of this type of issue is that if a kohen gadol dies, so then they made a takona in Besdin that the chavitim of that kohen gadol should be paid for by the tzibur. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, that's not true. They're paid for by his yorshim. And by the way, as we'll see from the pasuk, don't think that it was brought the way the chavitim are normally brought. It was not brought machtzisa baboker and machtzisa be'erev. It was brought whole. This is Kuli Amas made, as we'll see, we're going to learn it out, that shleima haita kreva. The fifth takana was that the Kohanim are allowed to utilize melach and etzim, which normally, obviously, this would belong to Hekdesh, so you would be over on Me'ila. And this was like a really tough situation because Lamaisa, the salt that you needed to put on the carbon gufa, alkol korbanecha, the kol korbanecha b'melach timlach, obviously was part of Hekdesh. And afal pikein, because it was so available, and so was the etzim, so available in the Beis HaMikdash, so it was so easy to be bought, lidei me'ila, so that the kayanim who are zeiche, mishulchan gaveya, so Bezdin was mitakein, that they eat it as if the Bezbeach is eating it. And therefore they can use the melach, as long as it's Hekdesh, obviously doesn't mean they're allowed to stomp, steal things from the Beis HaMikdash. But if they're eating their portions of kachim, so then they can use the wood for fuel, and they can use the salt for flavorings. The sixth takana with the Tanai of Bezdin is that a para aduma, there is no me'ila if you take the afer of the para aduma. Now the Gemara is going to ask on this, why the heck would be? I mean, why do we need a tikkun of Bezdin? Where in the world would me'ila come for the afer ha'para? We're going to be discussing that in the Gemara. And the last of the takanas, which we saw already before, according to Waman Diomar, and I mentioned that we're going to see it. So machlokas, here's the machlokas, is what do we do, remember, with the case when we found money that was between the kinim and the gozle olot? So we said that if it's mechza al mechza, so we have to be machmir. So Gemara asked, it's all very nice to be machmir and put it into olos, but how is this woman going to be sure that she got her carbon? That's horrible. So we said over there, and it turns out it's only going according to one Tana. We said over there that's one of the Tana'e Beidin, that it should be brought Mishal Tzibor in cases in which there was a loss or a Suffolk loss. So before we brought Rabbi Yossi Shita over here, we're adding the Halach Rabbi Yehuda about the Sheva. Tanaim that Bezdin made. So this was the seventh Tanaim. But Rabbi Yossi said it's not true. Actually, the supplier, a Misapeket HaKinim, which is the sheet that we brought earlier, who Misapeket HaPsulot, so wherever we've got a problem and we're not sure, possibly it's possible, so then he would be responsible for that. And this would be a case where clearly we're not sure whether this woman was able to be mitchaperet with it. Okay, now this whole thing is really strange. Well, how in the world do you take an animal that you have no idea whether it's an oila, and, okay, it's a rove, so, you know, I mean, what do you mean? You don't even know it's a rove. All you know is that it's rove to be an oila. That's all you know. So how would you have a right to take, just because it's a male, I mean, if it's a male, it could still be a shlomim. So why are you saying this? So Rabbi Oshaya Rabba Omar, of course, what we're talking about over here is not that you actually find the animal and you're going to bring the animal as an oila, because how can you bring an animal as an oila if it might be a shlomim, and you can't bring it as a shlomim because it might be an oila? So what it's talking about is somebody who wants to make sure that everything works out, and he doesn't want to be in a position of not giving the mizbeach what it needs. So what the guy does is he actually gives money in order to bring both. That's just talking about. So this guy is a tzaddik, and he's lavo b'damayim shanuhai. It must be that he wanted to be yotze, and he says like this, if it's b'etzim an eila, so then let me be mechalal it onto this money in my left hand, which will become an eila, and then this other money that I have in my right hand, let that be a nedava for shlamim, and if it was actually shlamim, so let it be mechulal on the money in my right hand, and then I'm going to make a nedava for an eila for the money in my left hand, and then he brings both an eila and a shlamim. That must be what it's talking about, and this would be going, apparently, only aliba de Rebbe Meir, because we said that aliba de Rebbe Meir, if you went ahead and you were mechalal a korban without a mum, that nonetheless, even though it has Kedush Zaguf, it would be Mechula, apparently. So Rabbi Yochanan says, it's crazy. Nobody says you could do that L'chatchila. I understand. We're going to tell a guy to go out and to do things wrong? that he was going to say, go ahead and be Moel Bekotchim. I mean, basically what you're doing, and maybe, I understand, Alibet Rabbi Meir, B'diavad, it would be Chal. But you're not allowed to do that. Because it says, Im Ba Behema Tameyah. That means that the animal that we said doesn't mean Tameyah, but it means it's a Balmum. And the only time that you're allowed to do that is if and only if there's something wrong with the animal. If there's nothing wrong with the animal, so how are we going to tell the guy, well, there's a solution. If you really want to be a tzaddik, we're going to tell the guy, go ahead and be mechalal, the kedusha of an animal that is tamim? This doesn't make any sense. Ella. So I say that can't be a pshat. I say, says Rabbi Yochanan, that what the Mishnah is talking about is that hilchu b'hem achar harov. It means that we do bring these karbanos. We actually do bring them as olot, exactly as you thought. And as far as your question is concerned, how could we do something like that to bring something as an ayla that should not be an ayla? So that is because of the rov. So what it's talking about is not that this animal per se was brought alone. It's talking about where we have a collection of like these animals that are found. Then we took a look at the roves. Im rov zecharim, so then they're olot. And im rov nekevot, so then they are zivchei shlomim. Because what he's saying is, let's go aliba the rov that we find. What? See, well, understand. Just because you found male animals, well, I understand what that proves. A shlomim could just as easily be a male as a female. So how is the rove going to be machriya just because the rove were zecharim? This makes no sense. Ve'ina shlamim ba'imina zecharim u'mina nekevot. So how can you establish anything? I don't get it. So it must mean like this. Ketzad hu oseh. It must mean, what do you do if you find these karbonos? You're motzi am lechulin. The chozer first, you have to be motzi lechulin. Meaning, okay, so you wait until they get a mum. And then after that, then you can do what you need to do. So at that point, you can use the money. And then because of the rov, we go ahead and we will bring it as erlis. But what else could it possibly mean? Om Rabbi Zira, I'll tell you what it means. It means that you bring the carbon as an erla because, take a look at the context of what we're talking about. We're talking about in the context of the takonais that were made as na'e bezdin, right? So, kamodat amar taman. Look, we said before in the Mishnah that it's na'e bezdin ala motarot shikrivu olot, right? Over there when we had mosachatas, and we said over there, how are you sure? Maybe it's a chatas. You can't bring money for a chatas. And we said, because leiv bezdin masna aleihem. So basically, all of these mishnayas where you may be running into a problem of utilizing kachim for the wrong thing, it's what you're going to say over here. That tnai beidinu ala ovdot shikrivu olot. That the bezdin makes a tnai that when something is lost, so then the original hakdosha, since people are going to make this type of kedusha al das, what it is, that is the correct halacha to do, and it's Abbas Bezdin. So because of that, Bezdin was masna, that wherever something turns out to be lost, that it is, from the very beginning, meant to be an oila. Om Reb Yosel, Reb Yaakov Baracha, but, I mean, if it's a shlomim, why isn't that considered to be mazid, changing something mazid? I mean, in the case where you have the meiser chatos, or the suffix over there, if it was lost, and so on. I understand. That's because you have cash. You want to tell me that cash was given to a particular purpose? Fine. But here we're talking about actual animals. So if actual animals, isn't it a kedushas haguf? And you're going to be using something that is one kedushas haguf for something else? I mean, isn't the tnai bezdin is not on the type of kedusha, is it? It's just on what the money is given for. Says the Gemara, no. Says the Yaakov Baracha, the Tanai Bezdin is on the actual Kedusha. So Mikivan Shu Tanai Bezdin, it's not considered to be a mazid of a change. It's exactly the same as if it was originally given for that purpose. Now, one of the things that we started with over there is the Machlokas about the Kohen Gadol who died and what we do in order to bring his chavit. So we have actually a number of issues that revolve around this we didn't mention in the Mishnah. And Rabbi Yassa again says one of his famous listening in to Rabbi Yehuda asking Shmuel, and well, I overheard Shemayit Kal Rabbi Yehuda while I was still there in Bovel, Adana Taman, before I came here to Eretz Yisrael, I heard Rabbi Yehuda's voice asking Shmuel. It's interesting that he always says, I heard the voice, because like we said before, is he standing in front of you that you can quote him? And so, he wants to make it clear. Look, I heard his voice. I can't tell you that I actually saw it, but I definitely identified his voice. And he was asking Shmuel, how about if somebody was mafresh a shekel? And we had this before. Somebody is mafresh a shekel and he dies. What's the halacha? Should we give it in for his shekel, or do we use it for something else? And Shmuel said to him, Yiplu l'nedava, that actually it should be given into one of the nedavas and not for the shkolim, which were for chataos as well. This is an enkapar l'mesin. Okay, now here's the part that's looking at us. What would be the din legabi, the moser of the asiris ha'efa of a kohen gadol? What would be the din about that? So as we saw before, again, so a lot of these dafim already are starting to review a lot of the material that we had before. So Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Yolichem liyam ha'melach, and Rabbi Elazar Omar, Yiplu l'nedava. So moser asiris ha'efa is actually, we saw before that we had this machlokas about understanding the relationship of chatat, of asiris ha'efa for a chatat. Does it mean that it actually, we're calling it a chataz, if we're giving it the din of a chataz, which is the extra lashon chatati that we find by asiris ha'efa, we're saying this must be a reference to the Kohen Gadol's asiris ha'efa. So that's a question, whether we're giving it literally the din of maaser chataz, in which case, then it should be nifel for the nidava, or is it not literally a chatas in terms of the maaser chatas? It's just telling us that you can't use it for anything. What are you going to do with it? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're yolichem liyam ha'melach. But Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's mamash chatas, and therefore it's nifel, same way maaser chatas would be to nidavas, which we learned out before. Asirita ifasho kohen gadol. What happens with that asiris ha'efa? How does he normally bring it? So Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, the Torah says you're supposed to bring it half of it machzita ba'boker u'machzita ba'erev. So does that mean you bring it by halves, or does it mean you bring it by wholes, but then you bring half of the whole that you brought? And that's a machlokas. So Rabbi Yochanan says, first you divide it into two separate things, and then you would go ahead and be magdish each part for what it is. So you basically have a whole isaron, and you split it up first. But Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, no, you're magdish it, and then after you're magdish it, then you go ahead and you split it. So that would mean, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you do a separate kedusha bikli for each one of them. So first you divide it, and then in the morning you put half of it into a kli shoritz to give it kedusha saguf, and not that you would make it all kedush at the same time. Now, Rish Lakish amar mikatsha v'chaka chotzeota, that it's exactly the opposite, because it says machzita, mashma, that it's already a mincha, and then machzita, half of the mincha, which is already kodesh, is the kodesh of mincha, then you split it into two different parts. Now, it would seem clear from Menachos that the Mishnah is clearly against Rabbi Yochanan. So, matznisa plige al Rabbi Yochanan, because the lashon of the Mishnah over there is, it says that, it's talking about a case over there where the Kohen Gadol died after he brought the first part of his minchas chavitim. We appointed a new Kohen Gadol. So the halacha is the new Kohen Gadol can't bring the other half of the original Kohen Gadol. He has to bring an Isaron mibeto. He divides it and brings mechza, and the other half is lost, meaning that we can't use it for anything. So if that's the case, so then if Rabbi Yochanan is right that we would only be Magdish half at a time, why in the world would we have to get rid of the other half if we never made it Kodesh? There'd be no point in making the other half Kodesh, would there? But Tarla Rabbi Yochanan will have to say that the reason that we would get rid of it is because, not because it has Kedusha Saguf, but because he holds that Afilu Ma'ot Yechuli Amamelach. He holds that the Meiser of the Asiris Ha'efa, even if they're only Kedushas Domim, have to be thrown out. So therefore, fine, what are we supposed to do with it? So we throw out even something that it's just Shava Kesa. So we'll throw it out, but even without, Kedushas clean. Now, says the Gemara, the truth is that there's, I don't know, this is the gears that we have. The Pashtus is that this is wrong, and it's not meant to be Pliga al Reish Lakish, it's meant to be Pliga al Rabbi Yochanan, like the Grot changes the Girsa, and that it's again saying there's another problem here of Rabbi Yochanan. But okay, let's read this first. Masnisa Pliga al Reish Lakish. Why? Because it says over there that if the Kohen goes ahead, the new Kohen, and he goes ahead and he brings the Machzita in the afternoon, so it will turn out that we have Shnei Chatzaim Krevim Ushnei Chatzaim Avudim. So the first morning was brought half from the original Kohen Gadol, and the other half is going to be thrown out. And the second half was half of the afternoon, and the other half was thrown out. So it turns out that we have one full Asiris Ha'efa and one full dumped Asiris Ha'efa. Now, in the Braisa on that Mishnah, it says, V'toni Allah, Mechatz HaRishon, U'mechatz HaSheni, to Ubar Tzuratan, V'yetzel Beit HaSrifa. So you have to wait until they become Nosar, and then you would go out and you would burn them in the Beis HaSrifa. But according to Reish Lakish, why would they need to, since they already had Kedushas HaGuf, and there's nothing to do with them, so then we should just get rid of them on the spot. Why would we have to wait until to Ubar Tzuratan? Ashenken, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that they did not have Kedushas HaGuf, they would be able to theoretically be Padoi if it wouldn't be for the fact that he holds that even just Kedushas Domim you have to get rid of. So then we should be able to get rid of it without going through the Ubar Tzurasa. Okay, others learn just the opposite. Since according to Rabbi Yochanan, we never gave it the Kedushas HaGuf, and the reason that we're getting rid of it is because of the fact that he holds that even the Kedushas Domim has nothing to do with, why are we waiting for Ibar Tzura if there's no Kedushas HaGuf? So it's obviously much more likely that this is a stira in Rabbi Yochanan, not in Reish Lakish. Answers the Gemara that, the way we're learning it now, he would learn it's going according to Rabbi Yishmael, and meaning that not Reish Lakish, but that Rabbi, this is the way the Gemara learns it, Rabbi Yochanan would learn that it's going Aliva to Rabbi Yishmael, who is chaylik on Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah about the Midas, whether the Midas had Kedusha or not. So he would hold like Rabbi Yishmael, who holds that the Isaron itself, with which you measured, was the Midah for actually being able to measure the Asiris Ha'efa, it itself had a Kedusha of a Kli Shares, and because of that, it would be Mekadosh the Mincha. So even though I wasn't Mekadosh it Bekli after bringing it, according to Rabbi Yochanan, but the very fact that I measured it already gave it Kedusha Zaguf, that meant that we'd have to wait for Ibar Tzura. Now, the question is Bechlal, how exactly do we bring the Minchas Chavitim? We're continuing with that question, which is what we started. We got a little bit off to the side over here. Kisha HaKohen mitkarev techila la'avodah. Now, remember that there is a Minchas Chinuch, and the Minchas Chinuch is the precise equivalent of a Minchas Chavitim. The Minchas Chavitim, which is the Asiris Ha'efa, is a glorified Minchas Chinuch, which is split into two. The thing is that the first time that a Kohen comes in to do his Aveda, he is the equivalent of a Kohen Gadol, and he has to bring the first time once in his life, only once in his life, he brings an Asiris Ha'efa, and that Asiris Ha'efa is called a Minchas Chinuch. So now, Kisha Kohen mitkarev techila la'avodah, this is the first time that he's ever done Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash, he has to bring an Efa, his Asiris Ha'efa, from his own, and he has to do the Aveda himself with it, and this is his Chinuch into the Kohuna. Every Kohen has essentially a type of Miluim, and that Miluim is the Asiris Ha'efa. And this Echad Kohen Gadol, the Echad Kohen Hedyot, Sha'avdu Ad Shelo Hevi'u Asiris Ha'efa Shelehem, Avodatan Kishera. Now the Pashtus of what the Gemara is talking about, Rabbi Yisai, is the fact that this is how the Rambam paskes, this is the way the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam's approach to the sugya, is that there are two dinim of a Minchas Chinuch besides the din of the Chavite. A Kohen who, for the first time in his life, is doing the Aveda, brings a Minchas Chinuch. If that same Kohen, 30 years later, is appointed as a Kohen Gadol, he brings a new Minchas Chinuch as a Kohen Gadol, besides the Chavitin that he now has to bring as a Kohen Gadol. So this is the way, for sure in the Bavli, this is for sure how it's understood. Some think that the Yerushalmi argues on it. Okay, but the Rambam paskens according to the Kesef Mishnah, like the Yerushalmi, and says that therefore he would end up bringing three. He would end up bringing, if it was the first day that he was ever Oved, and he was appointed as a Kohen Gadol on that day, he would end up bringing three of the Asiris Ha'efa. One as a Minchas Chinuch as a normal Kohen, one as a super Minchas Chinuch because he was now appointed as a Kohen Gadol, and one as the Asiris Ha'efa that he would have to bring. That's definitely the way the Rambam paskens. So, but the point is that whether as a Kohen Gadol he was Oved without bringing his Minchas Chinuch, or whether as a Kohen Hedyot he was Oved without bringing his Minchas Chinuch, the Minchas Chinuch is not Ma'akev. And therefore his Aveda would be kosher. So Ramana boy Meima. So Ramana suggested that if it's the same day that he's working for the first time in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was also appointed on that very first day to be a Kohen Gadol, so this could easily happen when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, and on that day we appoint him, now it's the first time he's going to be Eved. And this is like the Osayom Natal Eser Atarot. So these were two separate Atarot. It was the first day that there was Aveda B'Kohuna, and it's the first day in which we have Aveda B'Kohen Gadol. So now, it's the first day that we're going to be bringing a Minchas Chavitim. So he would have to bring two separate Chavitim. So this is a question whether this is the correct Girsa B'Kohla. The Pashtus is the way that the Rambam had it, is that he needs to bring three. And it would be shtayim for chinucho ve'achas l'chovat hayom. Okay. In any event, that's certainly how we paskin. So I'm telling you that must be the girsa of the Kesef Mishnah, because he just takes papasha and says the Rambam is just quoting the Yerushalmi. Now, when it says...
You remove the word achat, we would solve it by saying, removing that first word achat. Instead of shnayim achat v'chinucho,
yeah. Excellent, yes. Yeah, something's a little bit funny with your mic there. But I heard what you said. Okay, now, the question is, the Lashon, remember we have like some very interesting inyanim when it comes to, because it says, Al-Machavat ba-Shemen te'aseh, murbechet tevi'ena, tufinei minchat pitim takriv reach nichoach. It's like a lot of different things over here. So first of all, it's supposed to be Al-Machavat. Machavat seems to be saying it's supposed to be made like a minchas machavat. But then it says that it's supposed to be murbechet. And murbechet always means that it's supposed to be scalded like a bagel. And then it says, tufinei, which is a lotion of afiyah, which is supposed to be baked. So like, how exactly are we supposed to make this thing? So therefore, we need to analyze, first of all, when exactly do we bake it? So one shot is bishat hava'a tufinei, You make it baked after you're bringing and it's ready to be brought. But ein b'shacharit tufineh. But you do not bake it in the morning. Now, because of the unusual use of the word shacharit, this doesn't make sense. You do bring it in the morning. So I mean, ein b'shacharit tufineh. So the way the Mefarshim on the Daf understand it means, and this works out well later on in the sugya, as you'll see, that ein b'shacharit, we're using the word shacharit over here as the very early morning, meaning right by Alos HaShachar, where it's not yet ready to be brought, because we haven't opened the Beis HaMikdash yet, right? Which is funny, because that's not usually the way we would bring it. Because of that, Rav Kanievsky understands it, that if you're bringing the machtzisa ba'erev, you can't bake the machtzisa ba'erev in the morning. You have to wait until it's the Shatz Havah of the machtzisa acharei tzoraim. That's when you bake it. So it's not referring to the whole thing that you would bake. But we'll see that lamaisa, it is nothing so bad about using the word shacharit specifically in this context as meaning the early morning. Why? Because the kasha that we asked from the Mishnah in Tamid is gufa built around that question, how early in the morning? Because it says over there in the Mishnah in Tamid, Vatanina, he'emidu osei chavitin lasot chavitin. So over there, you remember the Seder of the Yom was that when they first walked around, it was still early in the morning, everybody was asleep. And the first thing that they did was they woke up the people that were needed to make the chavitim on that day to make the chavitim. So that really is referring to early in the morning. And so therefore, if we just darshan that we don't do it early in the morning, so it makes sense that we would use that word just to make the question from the Mishnah more powerful, you know? So how could we wake them up early in the morning if you're not supposed to be baking them unless it's already the Shas Havah? Omer b'chia baracha, it does not mean to bake them. It means that we need water to do the bagel part, the revucha, where we're going to be pouring boiling water. It takes time to heat up that water. So because of that, they woke them up early to make the chamin l'revucha, since they needed to be ready at the time of the havah. So we woke them up early so that we'll have everything that we need. Tufine, what does tufine mean? Says Reb Yotze, b'shem Rabbi Chanina, I hold that it means first you put it in the frying pan, because it said beferish that it should be on machavat, right? So, okay, so first we put it on the frying pan, and then afterwards we will go ahead and bake it. Whereas Rav Acha b'shem Rabbi Chanina says, no, you bake it first, and then you put it in the frying pan. And we know that there's a machlokas tanoim that says like this. And the Gemara now wants to say that the machlokas that we just had of the Amoraim is dependent in this machlokas tanoim. That how do we understand the lashon of tufine? So it means there's two different lashonas, three actually, as we'll see. So tufine, we darshan according to the Tanakama, it means. Why do you say that? Just say te'afena. No, so tufine is a combination. Te'afena na. Bake it with the same din of na. What is na? Partially cooked, right? By the Korban Pesach. Remember, lo tochlenu na. So we're darshaning over here that the tufine means it should already be partially cooked. So now we want to understand that to mean that, oh, that would be going according to the Shita, that you would put it into the frying pan first, which means it was partially cooked already at the time that you put it into the oven. Whereas Rebbe says, no, tufine means te'afena na'ah. Make it beautiful while, in other words, you should put it into the oven while it still looks good. Don't tell me that when you put it in a frying pan with all that oil and everything, it still looks good. So therefore, it isn't na'ah at that point. So goof, it's coming to tell me that don't get it all oily, or even parts of it are always going to get discolored because of the frying in the frying pan. So then first bake it and then put it in. Rabbi Dosa says, te'afena means like really go at it, baby. Keep baking it. So that means, according to him, it means that you should reba. Basically, Put it in the oven, put it in the frying pan, put it back in the oven, put it back in the frying. Keep doing this. That's what it means. So make sure that it's very well done. And that's why the post puts it into these, into this funny order of amachavat, and also it's supposed to be scalded, and also it's supposed to be baked. So that's all of these three shitas. Now, it turns out, if we ignore Rabbi Doisa, that the machlokas that we had in the Amorayim seems to be the same machlokas that we have in the Tanayim. Because Atyan Ilin Palgevata, Kainin Palgevata. Turns out the machlokas here is the same as the machlokas between Rebbe and the Tanakama. So the Mandi Omar Teafena Noah is going according to the Mandi Omar Ofa Veachakach Mitagnas. The Amorayim that tine at first bake, then fry, apparently hold like Rebbe. Because that means that it has to be nights at the time that you put it into the oven. Whereas the Reva Acha that we said, that's the Reva Acha, Rebbe Chanina, whereas Man Di Omer Teafena Na, you should put it to the oven when it is already partially cooked, which is what Na means. Remember, Na doesn't mean literally raw, just like it means by the Korban Pesach. It means partially cooked. So Kaman Di Omer, so then he would be going according to the Shita here that says Mitagna V'achar Kach Ofa. So that means that Rabbi Yosef, B'Shem Rabbi Chanina, basically holds like the Tanakama. Okay, let's talk about that Mishnah that once already we brought in Menachas. That over there, the halacha is that if the Kohen Gadol dies before he gets a chance to bring the Mincha, which was Ben Arba'im, and we had another Kohen Gadol, so then the... Basically, we use half of the first coins, half of the second coins, and the other part is wrecked. Now, suppose he didn't die. Suppose he just couldn't bring the carbon. So, lo sof davar shemit, he doesn't have to actually die. The point is, el afilo nitma. So, exactly what do you mean? The point is, he didn't have to die. What? So, what happened to him? He became tame, or what? Afilo nitrata mimum. Which, what are we talking about over here? What is the, is it something that is like death? Is that the point? In other words, it's permanent, and he's never going to be the Kohen Gadol again, or he just became Tomei, and he can't bring it today because he's not allowed to be Oved. What do you mean? Tani Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, de Bar Delaya, I don't know where Bar Delaya is, but maybe Barnea can tell us, Afilo Nitcha Mimum, that all it means is, even if he didn't die, even if he was only nitcha mimum, but it doesn't mean that just because he's tummy, that not. Okay, we said that when a Kohen Gadol dies, so we had the case that we don't have a Kohen Gadol. Then we started saying, so what do? Do the Yorshim bring it, or does it come in Shalt Sibur? That was about Chokas we had in our Mishnah, right? Between the Tanakama and Reb Yehuda. Does it come from his money, from his estate, from his yorshim, or is it ba mishal tzibur? Let's take a look at the Braita. The Braita says like this: Minayin l'kohen gadol shemet, v'lo minu acher tachtav. So how do we know when a kohen gadol dies and we don't yet have a new kohen gadol? Shetei minchato kreva mishal yorshim, Talmud lomar mi banav yaseota. So in other words, we darshan the posik to mean that it actually will should come specifically from his children. So we're darshing the posik ha kohen ha mashiach tachtav mi banav yaseota, but we darshing it banav yaseota, and then the end of the posik is chok olam la Hashem. Okay, so how do we make those two things fit? So the first approach that we take is that since it says Miban Avyas Eota, so that means that his children pay for it. And then you might think that he should then, this could go on who knows how long until they make it, maybe for a whole year or whatever. So you might think that that means that every day the Yorshim pay for an Asir Sa'efa that is brought the same way the father's Asir Sa'efa will be brought. Machtzisa babeker, machtzisa achreat zorayim. So Yochel yiviyana lechat sayim, the way his father would. Talmud lomar, ota. It says, beferish yaaseh ota. Only when it's the whole. So ota means kula amarti. It has to all be brought as one thing. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Omer, I disagree. It's not brought from the Yorshim. Ina ba element shal tzibur, because the way I understand the pasuk is the pshutai is hakoyin Mashiach tachtav bipanav, and then when it adds at the end of the pasuk chok olam la Hashem, that's telling me who pays for it. Mi shahabrit krutalo or mi shahabriot shelo. There's different lashonos over it, but what it means is the one who owns the world. The world pays for it. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay for it, is what it means. So that means that it's ba mishal tzibur. Or it could be because of the getter of Am Olam. Klal Yisrael is called the Am Olam. So it's the only thing that exists forever and ein tzibur mesa and so on. Could also be the meaning of it. Okay. So again, the question is the brit shelo, olam shelo, abriot shelo? If it means abriot shelo, it means from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes from the money that was given to Hegdash. And then when it says kolil toktar, that's what I learn out means kolil lahaktara, that the entire thing is like a normal minchas kayin. A normal minchas kayin is that there's no kmitza. So I understand that when they're bringing it, it is not brought as a normal kohen chavitim of asiris ha'efa, but rather we treat it as a minchas kohen. Okay, there's different ways of understanding this, but it's getting late. We'll stick with this approach. Kohen gadol shemeit, so Rabbi Yehuda says, it comes from the yorshim. Says Rabbi Bo Bar Momal, hold on a minute over here. I don't get it. Rabbi Shimon seems to have flipped, because in the Mishnah that we have, that we learned here in Shkolim, so here he says, Taman Amar Mishel Yorshim. He says that mitzad, the actual halacha in the Torah, it's brought from the Yorshim, like we just explained it, because he's the one who says that it's a Tznai Bezdin, that it should be brought from the Tzibur. Mashma, if it wouldn't be for the Tanai Bestin, so it would have to be brought from the Yorshim, right? Midiraisa. And yet in the Braisa, where we just talked about his Shita, he says Beferish that Midiraisa is brought from the Olam. It's brought from the Tzibur. So make up your mind. Omer Rabbi Chiya Barba. There's two ways of reading this. My personal preference is, this is not a good question. Veloya utumaksha. Others say that it means veloya utumaksha. Is this not a good question? I mean, so why does somebody have to say, isn't it a good question? I mean, if you're saying it's not a good question, which is the way some learn, which is the Pashtus, so then he's saying, like we often find in the Bavli, the rejection of the question. You know, like, who is this? This is weird. So, okay, what's wrong with the question? So also Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Rabbi Abo, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, to explain that it's a stupid question. It doesn't mean, just because he holds that Dvar Torah, who should take Baminat Sibur. Fine, yes, he said that Beferish, right? Chok Olam, okay? So what does that have to do with the Tanai Besin, for God's sake? What does one have to do with the other? Let's say it has to come from the Tzibur. What money does it come from the Tzibur? So I would have thought, what do you mean, what money? Hayiti Omer Yigbula. Go ahead and make a special appeal to the Tzibur. We're taxing everybody an additional dollar a day so that we can pay for the Chok Olam. But what gives you the right to use money that we're over there? The Kohen Gadol was alive at the time that everybody gave the money. What gives you the right to use that money, which was originally meant for other things, and to pay for the Chavitim? So all that he was saying was that, and therefore there was a Tanai Besdin that you could use the money from the Tzibur that was already there, right? And so what kind of stupid question is it to say, oh, it's a contradiction. It's not a contradiction at all. It's absolutely true, like he said, Beferish, that it comes, B'diraisa, from the Tzibur, but it's also absolutely true that we need the Tanai Besdin to provide the specific funding from the Tzibur. Anybody who's ever made a government budget and knows that you've got to look for where the money's going to be coming from understands that they're two completely different issues. That's why I think it's a dumb question. That's why I said, V'lo Yehudu Maksha. It's not an intelligent question.